It's great to be with you today, and especially this evening. We enjoyed a good time this morning with the young ones, and they done so well, and we thank God for that. And again, can I say thank you to the SM Live? I hope I got that right. You've done great. It was brilliant, and we thank God for all your efforts this evening. Can I ask you to turn, if you've got a Bible with you this evening, to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, and chapter 15. Luke's Gospel and chapter 15, and we're going to read the parable of the lost son, of the prodigal, beginning to read at verse 11. Then he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine had, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. We know that God will bless the reading of his precious word. Let's just still our hearts for a moment, and let's again come into the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that it is precious to those who believe. We thank you for all who have come here this evening, who have gathered in your house on this, the Lord's Day. We thank you for the young people. We thank you for what our ears have heard this morning, for what they have heard this evening from SM Live. And we ask your blessing upon them. We recognize, Father, that these are difficult days and these are difficult ages to try and to live for you. And the temptation is to be far from God, and to rebel and to go with the flow. And we ask, Father, that you would speak to all of our hearts this evening, to the young people, to the moms and dads and guardians and friends and family. Write your word in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Claire was a beautiful girl. She had long blonde hair that went down her back, and the boys thought she was beautiful. I can see their eyes just lighting up. All the boys fancied Claire so much. They tried every opportunity to talk to Claire, to get near Claire, to speak to Claire. The opportunity arose at a camp, at a the school put on a youth weekend. And there the kids all went along, and Claire was there. And the boys thought this was great. And the boys, they were in this, in one side, and the girls were in the other, and they were eyeing up the boys, and the boys were eyeing up the girls, and as you do, then Claire became sick. So sick, in fact, that she had to be rushed home. Her mum and dad took her to the hospital, and there they discovered that she had a malignant tumour in her spine, and after 12 hours of severe surgery, she just wasn't well at all. The doctors give her very little hope. A few weeks passed, and her pastor came to visit her. Not knowing what to expect, he came over to her bed and was greeted with a smile. Such was Claire. He said to her, "How are you, Claire? How are you feeling?" And he made small chat with her for a few minutes. And then Claire turned to her pastor and said to him, "Pastor, I wish that everyone could have cancer." Not knowing how to respond to her, he simply said, "Claire, why? Why do you say that?" She said, "Well, before I had this cancer, I had very little time for God. I was more interested with my friends, and I was more interested in what boys thought of me. I was more interested in how I looked. I was more interested in how my hair was, and if my makeup was all right, and if I was accepted by my peers. But since I've become ill, I've suddenly realized that means nothing. And for the first time in my life, I've suddenly realized that Jesus is everything. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Here we find Jesus telling this parable, this story of a young man who had tremendous privilege. Here we find this young man who, well, it all started with him becoming restless. And I want us this evening to go away not wanting to run away from family, not wanting to be pressurized by friends, not wanting to be attracted by the things out from our families and from this church and the things that attracts us in this world. But I want us to see that there is dangers by looking away from what we've been brought up with. And we see this young man, it all starts with restlessness. This young man had a tremendous opportunity. He had tremendous privileges in this home. This young man, he had everything going for him because in those days, it was custom for the sons to be handed everything. It was custom in those days for the father to build on in the farm and for the sons to carry on the work and for the work to grow and for the possessions to grow as well. This son had everything. But you see, as young people are, he just became restless, and it led to being fed up. He was fed up, you see. He didn't appreciate what he had. He was selfish. And isn't that true, young people? Isn't it true that we can become selfish? I know that some of you are laughing, because it is so true. And I'm sure if I was to turn and to ask your mums and dads this evening, what about wee Claire, or what about wee Jane, or wee John? It'd be interesting to see the comments that they would say to me, whether it be true, whether they tell me the truth or not. But as young people, at 12 and 13, 14, 15 years of age, all that we think about is ourselves, don't we? Yeah, yous are nodding at me. All we think about is ourselves, and because we get so easily fed up with things. And what happened, you see, to this young man, he began to detach himself from his family. He began to detach himself from his father and from his older brother. He began to think of what it's like to be outside the farm, to be outside of the family routine, to be outside restrictions. If I could only make my own decisions. Isn't it true that so often we think that the grass is always greener on the other side? That was the situation of this young man. This is what this young man found himself in. And so he asks his father for his share of the inheritance. I want you to notice that the remarkable thing about this is that the father doesn't argue with him. The father doesn't argue with the young man who wants his inheritance. He gives it to him. You see, one of the saddest things is that sometimes God allows us to do our own thing. You see, with freedom, young people, with freedom, it brings tremendous responsibility. And it's what you do with that freedom depends on how you will live. And with responsibility, it brings tremendous privileges. But at the same time, it can be painful as well, because young people, sometimes God allows us to do our own thing and to go our own way. And that's what this young man found himself. He asks himself, he asks his father for his share of the inheritance. And you know what he was really saying to his dad, to his father? What he was really saying to his father was this: I wish that you were dead. You see, in those days, that was never done. You never went up to your father and while he was still living and said to him, "Father, I want my share now," because that wasn't the custom of the day. I want us to see that. Things have changed today. But in those days, that was never done. Never. Never done. Because you always waited until your father passed on, passed away. Then, and only then, you received the inheritance. And so for this young man to come to his father and say, "Father, I want my share of the inheritance," what he was really saying to his father is this: I wish you were dead. Isn't it true that so often we say things to our mums and dads that really hurt, don't they? Don't the mums and dads? I know what it's like. I'm not too far removed from your age. I know what it's like to say hurtful things to your parents. Things that grieve them, even though mom and dad may put on a brave face, even though they might not want to show you their hurt. You know when you've hurt your mom and dad. You've been learning the Ten Commandments. And if you love me, if you love the Lord Jesus, he says, you will keep my commandments. And the fifth commandment is honor your mother or your father and your mother. My brother, he's 2 years younger than me, and one day he had a tremendous argument. He had a fight with his dad. And like any other day, dad went to work, and Paul, my younger brother, he went to work. And the things that he said to his dad that morning before they left was tremendous. And you see, young people, Paul never had a conversation with his dad again. Because that evening, you see, dad took a massive heart attack, and he went from this side of eternity into the next and into the presence of God. And Paul never had an opportunity to say sorry to his dad for what he said that morning. And what I'm saying to you young people is this, is that be careful what you say. James tells us in his wee epistle to guard our tongues against evil. And to honor your mom and dad and to cherish them for all that they do for you. I know that you don't appreciate it now because these are difficult ages. But there's someday whenever, if God spurs, whenever you are a parent yourself and have children, then you will appreciate and you will know what your parents have done for you. But young people, honor your mother and father. Cherish them. Spend time with them. This young man made a mistake, and it was this that he was restless in his heart. He was fed up with things at home and he wanted to go away. He wanted to go to the far country. He wanted to blow everything on foolish living. He wanted to have fun. He wanted to have friends, and he wanted to blow it all. He wanted to have a good time. The attractions of the world were appealing to him, and so for a season that's where he found himself. He got his possessions, he packed his bags, and off he went. And sure and behold, he found friends all right. He had a great time. He had friends. He had girlfriends, and he found himself in a position where he was drinking as never before, and he found himself doing things that he shouldn't have been doing, and he had fallen into sin. You see, young people, that whenever we begin to detach ourselves from God, we will always, always attach ourselves to something else. That's a proven fact. Because there always has to be something in our lives. We cannot do nothing all the time. And so if we detach ourselves from God, we will always attach ourselves to something else. That has happened so often. I have friends who who went to university, were strong in their Christian faith when they were at home. But you see, whenever they got out of the restrictions of mom and dad and out of the restrictions of going to church, they suddenly began to drift. They suddenly began to go to places where they shouldn't have been. They suddenly began to do things that they shouldn't have been doing. And young people, listen to me this evening, that most of my friends today are nowhere. Because the freedom that they received, the freedom that they had, resulted in bad choices. A young athlete in America was at the top of his game whenever one day he was racing in his Mercedes car, convertible, and he was racing some friends, and they reckon that he was clocking roughly around 130 miles an hour whenever he was involved in a serious car accident. Whenever he came to and was able to talk, he was interviewed. He was paralyzed from the neck down, but he was still able to communicate, and he held this interview, and this is what he said: "I have learnt so many lessons after my accident. First of all, to think before I act. I also learned to appreciate what I have, for it all can be taken away from me so quickly." And then he adds this at the end: especially when you make poor choices. Sometimes God allows us pain in our life so that we might appreciate what we once had. And young people, can I say this, that never get yourself into that position where God lets you go with the responsibility of the choices that you make. Never make poor choices. Never put yourself in that position where it becomes painful so that God has to show you what you once had. For that's a painful road to go down. This young man learnt it the hard way. For whenever the money ran out, whenever he found himself with nothing, here we see that he ended up with nothing. Here we see that the only thing that he could find for himself to do was to feed pigs. And he was so hungry that he wished that he could eat the food that the pigs were eating. But the Word of God tells us that no one would give him anything. And you see, young people, that sin will only last, the pleasures of sin will only last for a season. Sin, whenever it is first rooted in our hearts, it is pleasurable to begin with. But sin after a time will always bring about pain and discomfort. Most of you young people will have heard of Robbie Williams. I don't like his music, but I was intrigued listening to an interview that he was having one day, and I can't remember the context of the interview. I can't even remember the question that he was asked, but what I remember is his answer. And here's a guy who had absolutely everything as far as this world has. He had fame, and He had popularity. He had money and wealth, more than we will ever spend in a lifetime. And yet, in the context of this interview, this is what he says in his answer. That there has to be something more to life than all of this. There has to be something more to life than all of this. And here's a man that had absolutely everything. Everything. And yet he's a man who is troubled today. He is a man who has distanced himself from the limelight because he cannot handle the pressure anymore. He cannot handle the fame. He cannot handle the popularity. He cannot handle the things that he so wanted for most of his young teenage life in boy bands and in his solo career. And now he says there has to be something more to life. This young man in the story that Jesus is telling didn't expect what he got. The good news this evening is this, that if there's any prodigals amongst us, you can come home. Maybe I'm talking to a mom and dad this evening who have never stepped foot in a church from this time last year. And maybe you sit with these, where these young people are sitting this evening. And maybe for some of you, you've been brought up in Sunday school, but now the restrictions are off you, and now you're living your own life. And now, and at one stage, you maybe made a profession of faith. You may be trusted in the Lord Jesus, but now you find yourself in the far country and you find yourself doing your own thing and living in the pleasures of this world. The good news is this, that you can come home this evening. You can come home this evening. I read a story a few days ago in the newspaper about a cat. And this cat lived with this family. He was a family cat and he lived with them for a few years, and they loved this cat, but one day this cat just didn't come home. Every morning the kids would have ran down to, they had a cat flap in the door, and every morning the kids would have ran down and they would have seen if the food had have been taken. They wanted to see if the cat had returned during the night. And every morning for several months they would have ran down expecting to be welcomed by their cat. But the cat never appeared. 8 years passed, and until one day this cat walked into the house. This is a true story. After 8 years, this cat walked into the house, and they were so amazed, they scratched their head and they looked at each other and they said, "This possibly can't be the same cat. 8 years have passed." They just thought, they presumed that the cat was dead, and lo and behold, the cat looked the same. And as they watched this cat, the cat suddenly made its way over to its favorite chair and there curled up. They were so intrigued at what this cat was doing that they went and rustled out some old pictures of their cat. And you know what they discovered? They discovered that their cat was home. Their cat had returned home after 8 years. Young people, moms and dads, guardians, friends and family, if you're a prodigal this evening and living in the far country and far from God, and have attached yourself to things that are sinful and alienated from a holy and righteous God, the good news for you this evening is that you can return home. That's exactly what the Son does. For secondly, we see a tremendous picture of repentance. We see a tremendous picture of repentance. Here, very quickly, let me show you three elements of repentance. The first thing we find in verse 17 is that he comes to his senses. He comes to his senses. Here it says that, but when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish in hunger?" He comes to his senses. You see, he suddenly realizes the privilege that he had at home. He suddenly realizes who he is. And this evening, I want us to realize our identity in Christ. First of all, that we have been made by God. Secondly, that we have been made like God. And thirdly, we've been made for God. And young people and older people this evening, we will never be fully satisfied. We will never be fully satisfied until we live a life that is pleasing to God, until we know and recognize our true identity in Christ. We've been made by God, like God, and for God. And we are made to enjoy God. We are made this evening to be filled by God. What is whenever I was a young boy growing up in Sunday school, we learned the catechism. I don't know whether you learn that today. But the very first catechism that I learned was, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God. And what? To enjoy Him forever. And that's why, young people, we have been created this evening to be filled by God and to enjoy Him. And we will never be fully satisfied until we recognize our true identity in Christ. He came to his senses. Secondly, he was broken. He had a sense of unworthiness before God. He says here that I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." A sense of unworthiness before God. And thirdly, he cast himself in God's free mercy and grace. You see, young people, he recognized that even the small things in his father's house, the small things in his father's house was more than all the riches of 10 worlds. And that's what we've got to recognize if we're going to come back to him. That when we come back to him, that we've got to recognize that even the small things of heaven, the small things that God has given us, is more than all the riches of 10 worlds and the pleasures of worlds. Because only God can truly satisfy the longings of our hearts. And here we see that he gathers himself up. And not only does he think upon these things, but he acts upon it. And young people, that's what true repentance is. It's not only thinking about what we need to do, but it's acting upon it. It's turning around. It's as I learned in CEF, it's the two T's: trusting in Christ and turning from our sins. And that's what we need to do. It's not just enough to think upon these things, but we've got to act upon it. Then we see, thirdly, great rejoicing. Here we see that whenever the sun is a far way off, here we see six beautiful photographs of the Father's welcome. Let me just run through them quickly, for my time is gone. Here we see that the Father saw him from a distance. You see, young people, God sees us before anyone else. God sees all things. The Word of God tells us that God is on his heavenly, that God is in his heavenly throne, and God sees all things. He observes the sons of men, and he examines the righteous. And God sees before anyone else, here we see that the Father sees him from a far way off. Secondly, the Father felt compassion. And here we see God is love. God is love, and his love never dies. Even though you may be having a good time in the far country, I want us to see that God is love this evening. I want you to see that God's love never fails and never dies. I want you to see that the great heart of God is breaking for you this evening. It's breaking because of your sin, because of your rebellion, because of your life. Thirdly, we see that the Father runs to him. Here we see a tremendous picture of God who is overjoyed in someone coming home. God is overjoyed. Not only do the angels in heaven rejoice, but the Father rejoices. Fourthly, here we see that the Father hugs him and kisses him. And I want us to see this evening that God is an emotional God, for God is love. God is intimate. God doesn't hold you at arm's length and say, "Well, we'll wait and see we'll welcome you home if you'll not sin again." But here we see that the Father receives his son back, and he hugs him and he kisses him. He is overjoyed, and he loves his son. And you see, the love of God is unconditional this evening. The love of God is unconditional. God's love, God loves you just the way you are. And God wants you to come home this evening. Am I talking to a prodigal? The fifth picture we see is of the Father restoring the son. He puts the best robe on him. He puts a ring on his finger and sandals on his shoes. Here's a picture of sonship. He welcomes him home, not as a servant, but as a son. One who was once dead, but now is alive. One who was once lost, but now is found. And sixthly, here we see that the Father puts on a party. What a tremendous picture of God. What a tremendous picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I talking to someone this evening? I know that my time is gone, but God has laid this on my heart for quite a while now. And I've kept coming back and coming back to it, and I believe that this is the message for you young people. I believe that this is the message maybe for some older person this evening. Maybe for some mom and dad who maybe has never been in a church from one year to the next. The good news this evening is that you can come home. You can come home. The late Willie Mullen, Pastor Willie Mullen, was having a mission down in the Ards Peninsula. And he was closing the meeting just like what I'm going to do now. And as he was about to close the meeting, he sees a young man at the back of the meeting, and he's crying his eyes out, sobbing his heart. And as he goes, as the Pastor Mullen goes to the door, as was his custom, to greet the people on their way out. He suddenly is faced with this young man who was sobbing at the back of the church, and he says to him, "Son, is everything all right with you?" And the young man turns to the pastor and he says, I want to speak with you. I want to speak with you." And the pastor, Pastor Willie Mullen, says, "Well, can I speak with you tomorrow evening? I'll come round to your house. That'll do. I'll see you then." The next morning, the late Willie Mullen was walking out for a walk, and he sees in the distance this motorbike coming towards him, flat out. He hears it before he sees it. He suddenly realizes that there's a milk cart coming round a sharp bend, and the motorbike whizzes past him and loses control and skates into the milk cart. Willie Mullen rushes over to make sure that everybody is all right, and there he recognized the young man in the motorbike. It was the young man from last night's meeting. That young man never made it. That young man passed into eternity. And the late Pastor Willie Mullen learnt a lesson that day. Never to put things off till tomorrow. Is God speaking to your heart? Is God speaking to your heart, young people? Is God speaking to your heart, mums and dads? That's a tremendous privilege, you know, if God is speaking to your heart. This evening you can come home. That's the good news. If you're saved. You see, the prodigal will always come home. He will always come home. Will you come home this evening? If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, why don't you do it this evening while God has given you strength and given you another opportunity? Why don't you come and put your trust and faith in Him?